Hello, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
How are you doing over there?
I'm good. I'm drinking this Vive organic immunity boost thing, and it's like ginger root, turmeric, cayenne pepper.
Kanye.
Little Kanye West and some black pepper, too. It's spicy.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, is that spicy?
It's good. I probably shouldn't have done that, but yeah, it's really good. It's like a punch in the throat.
I'm just having water.
Yeah, I don't have any water. I've got coffee in this. This is probably not the best idea. Whatever. Guys, help me. Help me.
It's fine. We're doing it. Are you guys getting pretty settled into the house?
Yes, we are. This week has been unpacking, and we've got everybody's clothes pretty much in where they're supposed to go. And then we have like a garage full of just boxes of things that need to either be given away. I try to sell them. I need the motivation to like take pictures of things and put them on like Facebook Marketplace or something like that, because we have a lot of stuff that we just don't need anymore, and I don't want to keep that stuff around.
Right.
But we're doing fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like you notice that you have more stuff when you're packing it up or when you're trying to unpack it?
That's a good question. I feel like we have so much stuff, and when we were packing up, I was just like, especially towards the end, just trying to throw it everything in the box and just get it in there. So now that I'm unpacking, I'm like, why did I take this with us? Like, why? Why? We don't, my baby is not a baby anymore. So there's a ton of baby stuff I just have to get rid of. And I kept some things because I'm like, oh, this is sweet. But also, why? It's just material stuff. It's not, somebody told me, like, if you really are holding an attachment to something that you know you shouldn't be keeping, just take a picture of it. I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Then you kind of always have it.
Yeah. Then you always have. You have a picture. Like, let me look at that thing that I miss. Right. And guess what? I probably never would do that, but
probably won't miss it. Yeah. Yeah. Things are okay here. It's been real cold and it won't stop snowing.
Oh,
like
really?
Every day it snows a little bit more. It feels like, yeah. So it's a lot of snow. And like yesterday it turned into rain, which is kind of almost worse, you know?
Yeah. That sucks.
Which is like, everything's just like wet. Yeah. Yeah, but things are mostly fine. I'm going back to work on Friday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, and it'll be fine. I mean, it's always that going back is always kind of like, oh, okay. I have to like readjust my brain into being around people again and being in that environment again.
Right.
And, you know, I'm technically eligible to get the vaccine now. So
do it.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's a little complicated. We'll probably get into it more when we get to the thing that I could do without this week. It's a little more complicated than I feel like the process needs to be. But, you know, New York seems to be chugging along. Like the reason why I'm going back is because dining is going from 25% to 35%.
Okay.
And then also they just announced that March 5th, that movie theaters can open in New York.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's something at like 10 or 20%. Like it's a very, very limited capacity. I don't think that I would be going back to a movie theater until I had the vaccine, or at least had the... What I've heard is the first shot after a couple of weeks, you're basically good for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's the second one that like boosts that and like makes it last longer. So I suppose if I get the first one, I might look into it, but I also might just wait a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm dying to hear that journey. I'm so excited for you to get that vaccine.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get the process started.
And did your mom get her second one yet?
She did. I don't know if we ever talked about that. Yeah, she got her second one.
Yay!
And she didn't have any negative experiences. Like, she didn't have any soreness. She didn't have any of, like, feeling sick.
Great.
We had, like, most of the kitchen guys at my job have actually already been vaccinated, which is great because, like, they're the ones that are down there in, like, you know, close capacity with each other.
Yeah.
And I guess one of them, maybe this might have actually been, like, a runner or a busser, but he actually had to, like, call out from work because he was so sick for, like, 2 days after getting the second one. So I guess you just don't know. I guess you don't know how it's going to hit you.
Right, yeah.
But I'm going for it. I'm not worried. Whatever happens, happens.
Good.
I would just like to get to the other side of it. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. I have to say, I didn't know if I was going to tell this story or not.
Oh, no.
But I'm going to go ahead and tell it because it's a thing that happened to me this week.
Oh, gosh.
I had another interesting misadventure on my long Sunday walk around the city.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. I don't know why I'm telling this story. I had walked down to like the Lincoln Center area because there's a little place that I like to get food and that you can sit out in the little square, and it was cold, but it wasn't so cold that I could sit there and eat my food and not be super uncomfortable. And Oh, God. So I got up to walk back home. And this is a good, like, it's probably a good, like, 70, 75 minute walk each way between my apartment and Lincoln Center. Like, it's a healthy walk, but, yeah. You know, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. So, but I liked to walk along the river. So I walked over to the river, which then you're kind of far away from everything. And I was kind of, like, walking up and I was like, oh, you know, you get a little, like, a little gurgle in your tummy. Yeah. You know, you're like, oh, that's unusual. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I could turn in here because my old job isn't that far away and maybe just like to be safe. But I was like, no, that's silly. Like, you don't need to like go in. You're fine. Like, just keep walking. And I was sort of walking and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is a bigger problem than I originally thought it was going to be. And
oh, no.
I was like, no, just keep walking. And up here ahead, there are a couple of little restaurants. Like, if you're really feeling like something bad might happen, you can probably go over and they'll probably let you in. Like, we have indoor dining. Like, most restaurants will let you if you have the desperate enough face. And I kind of got to that space and I was like, no, like, I'm like 25 minutes away from my apartment now. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and walk. Like, it's not that far. So I keep walking. And I will say probably within 5 minutes, I'm like, I think that was a terrible choice.
Uh-oh.
I think that I probably should have ducked in. But now I'm in that weird place where, like, now I'm sort of heading into civilization.
Right.
Where I'm like, oh, okay, well, now, like, I don't know if as an adult one is supposed to ever feel that kind of desperation of like, should I find a quiet spot? But even that just feels like crazy. Like, because in your mind, you're like, I'm not going to poop on the street. That's insane. Like, that's not a thing that adults do. I'm gonna make it home. I'm gonna be fine. So now I'm kind of jogging.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm kind of like low key, like running a little bit. Like, and then we're starting, like, you know, like the wave that starts to happen where you're oh, and then you're like, no, I'm fine. And then it's like, oh, again. And like, it, you come back and now, like, I'm really in civilization. Like, I have left the park. I'm on the street. There are people. I'm like, I don't even have, like, I have to just get home at this point. When I tell you that literally across the street from my, I can see the door to my apartment building, and I am literally looking at a space between two cars, thinking, like, I think this is it. Like, I think this is going to happen. And at this point, as much as you've imagined that you can make it home, that it's right there, you've also imagined that you're not going to. Like, the two parts of my brain at this point are so at war with each other that I was just like, I paused for a minute. I was like, I can't do it. I can't. So I just ran. I like ran to my door, unlocked, all the while thinking, like, if someone's in the bathroom, at least I made it into my room. Like, at least I'm in a safe space. You know what I mean? Like, it's at that point, it's okay. No one was in there. It all turned out fine. Everything's okay. But I just can't, like, as an adult.
Oh, my God.
I can't say that I've never been in an experience ever like this before. I remember, like, many, many years ago having sort of a similar thing on the subway. But man, oh, man, it was a scary moment in my life. I was definitely thinking,
oh, my God,
this could change everything. So there you go. I can't believe that I just told that story. It's such an awful, like, ridiculous story to tell. But if someone can take that as a cautionary tale.
No, it's, you know what it is? I think most people have experienced something close to that because I do know what you mean by the wave.
Oh, man.
It's like almost nausea, but it's like down there. Yeah. Oh, that's so hard. I can't even.
It was nuts. And the craziest part was, once again, like, being across the street, being like, I don't think I can cross the street.
Well, all's
well
that
ends well, people.
I'm going to tell you what I tell my 3-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Listen to your body, Mike.
I know. It's very true.
You have to listen to your body.
It was crazy. It was really terrible.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. Yeah. At least you would have pooped your pants in the company, you know, the comfort of your own home instead of.
Yeah, yeah. At least I'd made it that far.
I remember, this is like really gross, but I remember walking on the street and seeing somebody just going to the bathroom in a corner, like on the sidewalk. It was like sort of a corner. It was right by that liquor store on 145th, you know, and then how it like indents in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it looked like a normal-ish person, like not someone who lived on the streets and was used to pooping in the...
Right.
But yeah, and I was just like, oh, God. But maybe that's what he did. Maybe I was coming at a very judgmental from a very just mental place. And in reality, this poor dude was having an experience just like you had.
Yeah.
But didn't make it.
Didn't make it.
That's the that's a sad story there. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I will say the other day I was like walking down the street and really close to my apartment, and this guy was, he was peeing in the street, and I was like, well, that's okay. But he was also like a delivery guy, and like, not even like a delivery guy for a restaurant, but like one of those organizations. And I just thought like, he doesn't.
Oh, like FedEx or
something?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say which one it was. Not that it really matters, but it was like one of those where it's, you don't have an office. Like, you don't have a home base. You don't have like, like you're just out about in the world for probably hours at a time. Like, there's nowhere, especially right now in New York.
Exactly.
There's nowhere to like knock on a door and be like, can I use your restroom? Because everything, well, things are opening now, but.
Well, yeah, and we used to use Starbucks, but Starbucks are the grossest bathrooms in New York.
And you can't even, it's not even available anymore. Starbucks in New York, at least, all the bathrooms are closed. Yeah, you can't, even if you're a customer now, they're all, like, everything's closed. I once again, I don't know if because the dining is opening up again, if that will change.
Maybe.
But as of right now, yeah, you can't even use a Starbucks bathroom.
Wow. Well, that's harsh, especially in, well, then, hey, I say more public urination and, and poopation, because that's not cool. You have to give, especially in New York, where people are like walking and like, you got to give people places to go to the bathroom. We're humans. We can't just suck it up.
I have said this before. Like, if someone like ran for office on a public restroom platform, they would have my vote. Like, that's like all it would take.
Yeah.
We just need more public restrooms in this city. Because you're right. Like, we're, everyone's just walking everywhere. Like, sometimes I'm walking around for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, how in the world am I supposed to not ever have to use the bathroom in that amount of time?
And then also, if you have a child, a baby that's in a, you know, a stroller, just having, most people don't have places to change your baby.
Right.
Like, I used to go to this restaurant that I loved, Cafe Mogador in Williamsburg, but I had to like put stuff on the floor and change the kid at that, whatever, you know. Maybe it's my fault for taking a baby to a restaurant.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, most restaurants have them now. But yeah, it's definitely crazy times. Anything else in your week? Anything going on in your life?
Nothing like that. No, that's a good story. I don't want to derail anyone's drive. No, I couldn't. I don't have anything close. This week went by so fast to me. It's like just, you know, the unpacking of it all and just honestly like thinking about what I could, can I paint this place? You know, it's nothing exciting. Your story is much more exciting. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Happy to help. What about digging? Are you digging anything in particular this week?
I am. Oh God, Mike, I am. And everyone is probably going to be like, yeah, no kidding. We were digging that like 3 years ago. Okay. I am digging, and I don't know if you, I can't remember if you've seen this series, but have you seen Schitt's Creek?
I did, yes. I have watched all of it, yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, you guys. I am absolutely, like, it took me a long time. I don't know why I was so reticent to, like, start the series. I think I watched the first couple episodes, and the guy who plays the mayor, oh my God. I looked up everyone's name but that guy, the blonde guy, you know?
Chris Elliott.
Chris, thank God. See, that's why we're a good team. Chris Elliott. He makes me really uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
I remember he was in There's Something About Mary, and he plays, and like, he's just a very visceral, uncomfortable comic. And that's just his thing. So I didn't know if I was going to be into it. But now I'm finally in the sixth season, which is the last season. We have four more episodes left. I just feel, I love it. I love the characters. I love the moments. And I am like, first of all, I've always been obsessed with Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah.
She's just like a comedic genius to me. I love her. And actually Eugene Levy as well. And I don't think, I have not talked about this, right? No, I talked about Best in Show, where they're a couple, they play a couple, and they have the terrier.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're great together. And then Daniel Levy, the son of Eugene Levy, who of course they create, I feel like I'm telling everybody everything they already know, but like, you know, they created this thing together. It was originally a Canadian TV show, first airing in 2015 on CBC, I think. And then of course now you can watch all seasons on Netflix, and there are 80 episodes. That was the other reason I didn't start it right away, because I was like, that is daunting to me. It's daunting to me. But it might have been right around, but when Alexis, played by Annie Murphy, Alexis does her A Little Bit Alexis, that song.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just like, what the hell? We have to rewind it and watch it again. And I rewatched it a couple times. I'm just like, her character, you think, you know, she's playing like an airhead and kind of like a I personally think she's just like a very smart comedian. I love Annie Murphy so much. And also, on the other side of that energy, oh gosh, her name is Emily Hampshire, who plays Stevie. Oh my God, she's so funny. She's just like that deadpan humor. I love it so much. Even to Twyla. Twyla, who is just always, you know, it's Daniel's sister, Eugene's daughter. And I love every time you go to her, you know what you're going to get. And then also, I love that they made such a wonderful ensemble. You know, it makes me jealous that I wish, I just want to be a part of something like that so bad. It was delightful. Like I said, I still have a couple more to go. I'm savoring them and I can't wait to honestly rewatch it again. Yeah.
Yeah, I do love what they created, that they created this world in which there wasn't any hate.
Right, yeah.
That like, there's conflict and there are, you know, because you have to have conflict for there to be any kind of like drama, even in comedy. But nobody hates anybody. Like, yeah. People are gay or not white or are different, and nobody hates anyone. Like, it's just a world that is just based on like acceptance, and that's real. I think what they did there was really, really beautiful. And Annie Murphy is so good. She's going to be in a new series coming out.
Oh, really?
Called Kevin Can F Himself.
Oh, fun!
And it takes place in a world in which she's a sitcom wife. But sometimes she leaves the sitcom is in the real world and sort of like dealing with the actual ramifications of what's happening in this sitcom world.
Interesting.
And it looks like it could be amazing. I'm very, very curious for it to actually come out. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
I'll watch anything she's doing.
Yeah, she really is fantastic.
I just love it.
Yeah, so for me, I'm going to do an honorable mention because a movie just came out starring Rosamund Pike called, I think it's called like Care a Lot.
I Care a Lot, yeah.
And I did really enjoy the movie. To call it a dark comedy, it's like the darkest of dark comedies that every once in a while forgets that it's a comedy. Like, it gets very, very dark. Rosamund Pike is so good in it. I can't even tell you what she does. Like, the way that she plays this character, I truly don't think there's a single other actress in the industry that could have done what she does.
I'm excited.
So specific. Yeah, so interesting. She's terrific. I think it's worth checking out just for her. Diane Wiest is also in it and is also amazing. Chris Messina, Peter Dinklage is in it. Like, it's a really, really great cast, but really it's mostly about Rosamund Pike. But the movie that I have to talk about, the movie that has probably replaced Mank as my favorite movie of the year, is a movie called Nomadland.
Oh, yeah.
And people have been talking about it. It's directed by a woman named Chloe Zhao. And she did a movie a few years ago called The Writer that she got some attention for. Also a beautiful film. She definitely likes filming the American vista. She's very, very good at it. Like, everything she films looks like a postcard. Like, everything is just a beautiful work of art. I went into Nomadland a little bit nervous because it looks very quiet. And I want to be clear, it is very quiet.
Right. It's like almost slice of life, right?
I almost didn't know to what extent. I almost don't want to get too into it,
yeah.
But the amount of which this film is almost a documentary is sort of astounding, because it's such a full story with so many amazing full characters who you later then find out are not acting. Like, they think they're just talking to a person. Like, it's just astounding. It's astounding what they were able to capture.
Yeah.
Once again, very quiet. There's one moment where there's like a little bit of an argument and I was like, everyone calm down. I was like, oh, we're out of control all of a sudden. But it's so beautiful. And Frances McDormand, what are you going to say about her? Like, she's just a treasure.
She really is.
Once again, this director, yeah, you got to love her. She's so brilliant. And this director, I think it's going to run the table. Like, it's such an amazing movie. It's on Hulu.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Did you know that the director was the editor as well? She edited it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
isn't that wild?
She wrote it, for what it's worth. Like, she wrote it, directed it, and edited it. Like, it's her. It is, when I talk about, sometimes I like to talk about director's pictures versus a writer's picture. Not to say, like, one is better than the other. Like, I love, like, anything that Sorkin does is kind of like a writer's film.
Right.
Though that's what was brilliant about Social Network, was that you had David Fincher directing. So it was like a director's film and a writer's film. All in one. Nomadland is such a director's film, and not to say anything negative about the screenplay, because it's beautiful words, but what she does with the camera and with the editing and just with the mood that she sets, it's really astonishing. Like, I really think that I think that it's a film that's going to be remembered.
That's so cool.
So yeah, it's on Hulu. Everyone has Hulu. Check it out. Don't look at your phone. Just watch this film. Like, just try to get, you can get like lost in the beautiful images. It really is just like a beautiful, quiet, also emotional, fulfilling journey. I loved it. I loved it so much. I can't say enough. So
that's great.
Nomadland, check it out. So anything you could do without?
Yes. So what I could do without, and it's maybe so more so like how I want my life to go. I don't know. Okay. So a little dense. I'm going to make it quick. As I was researching, you know, Catherine O'Hare and all the characters of Schitt's Creek, I was looking back on old episodes and like sketches of SCTV, which is the Canadian sketch show, comedy sketch. I grew up watching Saturday Night Live. I mean, not very young, but like all my entire life, I wanted to be like someone like Catherine O'Hare. I wanted to be in comedy. I mean, I have done a lot of comedy stuff. It's just like not to that, you know, sort of success as like global success, I guess you could say. And then, you know, I've always like had a bit of an identity crisis in terms of like, what kind of artist do I want to be? What kind of like actor, performer, creator? So, you know, I honestly got like a tiny bit depressed watching the sketches. And also, you know, I went through the UCB Upright Citizens Brigade, which is now, they're now closed through, I went through New York. And I think a lot about improv, where I really never... It was fine. It was fun. But I never really like had the Tina Fey experience that I wanted to have, you know? Uh-huh. I guess I'm a little bummed. Here's the thing. I'm going to start with saying, I believe that I believe what I'm supposed to be doing is coming to me. And this is wonderful. And like all these other things that are creatively working on. But, and I really do believe that. I believe that I need to listen, you know, like pay attention and keep moving and keep at it with writing and doing different comedy stuff. But I guess what I could do without is the idea that, I think this is the human experience, is that where you have a plan, like I want this so bad, and you're told, you know, if you dream it, you can achieve it, and like just go for the goal. But like sometimes that doesn't work out the way that you envisioned it in your head. For example, myself, you know, I really thought I would be on SNL. I really thought these things would happen. And I know it feels, you know, maybe just a hair shameful to talk about because I didn't get any of those things. But it's also something that it's never going to go away. The need and the yearning to make people laugh and also to like be cool, meaning like be so funny that I can make people's days better or whatever. I am just saying that I'm feeling a little creatively frustrated. Not totally, but just like, I want more. And I don't know how to get that. And maybe what I'm wanting is something that's just ego and not like, because I'd love to make my living with my creative hilariousness. I don't know. That's all.
Yeah.
It's not that that's all, but that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling frustrated about that right now.
I think it's also hard right now because we're in a place where you kind of can't really do a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that like you are doing two podcasts and you and Avrin have done a couple of like really, really fun, hilarious sketch bits with music. And so I think that it's that thing where I think it's very easy to think that because you haven't done something means you're not going to do something.
Yeah.
And I think what you have to keep in mind is like, it might not be the form you thought it was going to be.
Right.
It might not be when you thought it was going to be. It's definitely not going to be when you thought. I mean, this is my life too.
Yeah.
Where I have those moments where I'm like, oh, this is not quite what I thought I would be doing when I was 43 years old. But
yeah,
it is. And wishing it otherwise, you know, all this is to say that I understand.
I
get it. And let's keep going.
Yeah. You know? I love that. Thank you. I just, and I think you're right because we are in a pandemic right now. Like, you know, some people are shooting and some people are using this time, this wonderful time, to be creative and write stuff. But like, I'm in a house of people who, honestly, it's really messed up. Like, I literally try to do something that's going to help my kids, then they just undo it. It's a very frustrating time. We're all living, and I know.
No, we are.
But thank you, Mike. Yeah.
I was just having this conversation yesterday with a friend of mine who also waits tables and sort of talking about how no one's doing what they think they, like, unless you're Taylor Swift, Like, yeah. no one's producing like they think they should be producing right now. And I think you have to have a certain amount of like grace for yourself of like, this isn't normal. Like, we're not in a normal world right now. We're all just like literally doing our best. I mean, the thing that I could do without is just how difficult everything is right now. Mm. Like, and things that are always kind of difficult, like my driver's license expired 6 months ago. It was at the end of August and no one was going to a DMV. I wasn't even really thinking about the fact that my driver's license expired.
Sure.
Also, I don't really ever drive, but I don't want to give up having a driver's license.
Right.
So now I'm trying to figure all that out and trying to figure out how, like, because you also have to get an eye exam and they've waived the eye exam for 1 year, but I did just have an eye exam like 2 months ago.
Ooh.
So I'm trying to figure out, like, can I get that doctor to send a thing? So it's just, everything's just so complicated. And like trying to sign into the New York State benefit thing yesterday, it told me that my password was incorrect. And I'm like, it can't be incorrect because my computer fills it out. Like,
yeah.
I know that it's right. So then I'm finally like, just change your password. It's fine. Just change your password. I had to like answer all these dumb questions and like trying. And even that wouldn't work. Like, it kept saying like, password must be one number and one capital and eight letters. And I'm like, it is. It's all those things. I'm doing all the things you want me to do. And then later, like later in the evening, someone was like, oh yeah, no, the site shut down. It wasn't working yesterday or it wasn't working today. And I'm like, well, great. So I just spent all day trying to do this thing. And I took forever today because I had to change the password again. But I finally made it happen and it's fine. But even just like trying to get a vaccine, why isn't there one site? Why isn't there one thing that you click on and that's the way that you get through? And maybe you get put on a list somewhere. But there's not. There's like four different sites. Like, there's so many places to try and do it. And Annabelle's trying to help me too because she already did one. She did her first. And so she kind of was like, this is how I did it. It worked out okay. So we'll get there. But I'm like, why is everything just so complicated right now?
It's true.
So there you
go. And everyone is feeling it.
It's hard right now. Yeah. We're not in the real world right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which sort of leads me to my topic, which I probably should have clued you in ahead of time. I did tell you that it was a little bit heavy, and it's not a little bit heavy. It's very heavy. And I'm probably going to have to edit a lot of it so that I'm not crying too much.
Well, what I told you is I'm not afraid of the dark, which is funny because I actually am afraid of the dark, but I'm not afraid of this kind of dark, I think.
Yeah. So it's something because I was watching the news last week and they were talking about the increase in people who are dying by suicide right now. And I tried to do some research into it, and it's really hard because literally there's this report that says they're not sure, but it's either increased by 1% or anywhere up to 145%. Like,
what?
It just, they don't know from region to region or necessarily what, but we do know that there's been an uptick. And I think about Representative Raskin, Thomas Raskin, who was just leading the impeachment committee, and his son had died by suicide on New Year's Eve.
Oh my gosh.
And I can't even imagine like what that would be like as a parent to lose your child in that fashion. And then like he had a job he had to do, you know, he had to keep going. And you know, it made me think about having a conversation with a mutual friend of ours. I remember it was a couple years ago when Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade both died by suicide, like really close to each other, like only a few days apart. And, you know, they both left kids behind. And I remember having a conversation with a friend who was sort of mad about it and sort of was like, how could you do that to your child? And I'll admit that one of my very best friends from childhood, his mother had ended her life only a few years ago. And I had the same thought, you know, I had that same thought of, I'm going to get to this point very soon, that it's not actually a rational thought. But of course, as a child, you'd have that moment of like, why wasn't I enough?
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't I enough to keep this person around?
Sure.
And I had to, you know, I was talking to this friend. And so I've dealt with depression for most of my life. And I know you know all of this, that several years ago, it got really, really bad for me. And I want to be really clear that I never actually tried to end my life, but I came really close one night. And not to put you on the spot, but you know, I came and knocked on your door the next day, and I told you what had happened. And you know, you probably can't see it behind me, but behind the wardrobe on the door is the thing we made. That's like the things that Mike loves. And you know, I ended up going to therapy, and I was on medication for a while. And I, you know, I have issues still where I have to remind myself that, you know, some of us have things in our brains that work a little bit differently. And and I guess what I said to this friend in that moment, and that I wanted to say to people that maybe don't understand, when I was closest, when I was thinking about about ending my life, there wasn't any part of me that thought, like, oh, my friends are going to be really sad when I do this, or like, I'm going to hurt people.
Right.
I was 100% certain that everyone would be better off without me, that life for them would be better without me, and that things would be better if I wasn't here. And I know now in my brain being in a better place that that's not rational thinking, but in my darkest places and knowing how I felt. And then when I read about someone who wasn't able to step back from that darkness, and I can't imagine how much worse you would have to feel, like how much darker it must get. So I guess my overall point that I wanted to bring up is we're all dealing with a crazy time right now. And, you know, suicide is something that is an issue even in the best of times. Like, it's something that, that people deal with. But I would hope that if anyone... First of all, I hope if anyone out there is dealing with this, that you have a Vanya. Mm. I hope that you have someone that you know you can go to and talk about. Because it's not... That's the other thing that I want to get at. Having thoughts of suicide isn't shameful. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not a bad person and you're not broken. But you're going through something, and I hope that you can talk to someone. And there is, you know, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. You can also text the word GO, G-O, to 741-741. And I hope anyone that is out there that is maybe having an even harder time with this than others, or a harder time than they think they should, I hope, once again, I hope you have someone like my dear friend Vanya you can talk to. And if not, there's someone there to talk to. So it's really, it's dark. And I didn't think I would cry the whole time I was talking, but I just really felt moved to bring it up. I just felt like I needed to talk about it a little bit. So
I'm so glad you did.
There you go.
Mike.
Thank you all for listening.
You know, when that happened, we, you know, cause it was a very serious thing, and I'm so so glad Mike came to my door. And, you know, I didn't know what to do necessarily. But I did call my mother-in-law. I call her every time someone gets hurt, because she is a nurse. In fact, she's done everything from like ICU nurse to she understands mental stuff really well. So what she had said to me is like, you know, tell him that, try to get some medication right away, because we can fix that, you know, the chemicals in the brain. And so it's one thing you can do for certain that should help, maybe, most likely. But yeah, we sat down and I was like thinking, like, let's just talk through every single thing we like. And we were there for like a long time.
Yeah.
We sat for hours, and did we have post-its? I kept making you put post-its up.
Yeah, it's post-its.
And I was basically like, I'm never leaving you, Mike. I'm going to hold you until, but I didn't know what to do. I'm not a trained, but I know it's somebody I love very much. And I was just like, I am here for whatever you want. I'll do anything you want to do.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if it's a thing that you brought up then, or maybe it's a thing that you were able to talk about later after you spoke with your mother-in-law. Depression is something that even if you deal with and like sort of like battle and you can keep yourself in a okay headspace, there is a certain point at which your brain, if you've been in, like, I'm saying the dark space, and I don't mean that to sound like flippant, but that's how I describe it. When you're in that dark space for long enough, your brain forgets how to not feel that way.
Yeah.
You cannot on your own battle it.
Exactly.
And I resisted. The reason why I didn't want to go to therapy for so long is because I resisted medication. I was like, I don't have to take a pill. That's crazy. Sometimes you have to take a pill, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no.
Your brain needs that help. So don't ever be afraid of that. I resisted that for so long. And yeah, once again, you can get yourself into a place where you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
So
I do think that's fascinating, because it's true. It's like your synapses in your brain are used to going dark or negative or whatever. And to change that, to like re-hardwire your brain, it's like, if you're lucky enough to be able to get some medication, that's the fastest way to start on a better path.
Yeah.
And then of course you got to do other things, I think. But like, I was reading in the newspaper this morning that in China, I think it was China or Japan, I'm so sorry for mixing them up.
I think it's Japan. I saw this too. Japan, I think it was.
Women dying by suicide is up 5% since the pandemic. And that, it's like, because, oh, Mike, you sent me the best podcast, Fresh Air, With Terry Gross.
Oh, I'm glad you listened to it. It was so good, right?
I listened to it, and it was about how the weight of parenting and everything is falling a lot to the females, and that it's widening this gap of, like, women out of work and, you know, all this stuff. And not to say my partner isn't awesome and he's great, but, like, he's doing more, but I'm still doing more, you know, and we're both working. Right. And I know a lot of people are going through that. I actually am really happy you brought this up, Mike, because it's something that people need to talk about. And also hearing that, you know, because I understand, like, you think, how could they do that to their kids? You know, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade. But nobody's thinking like that when they're in that space.
No.
It's not.
That's not how the brain works. Mm-mm. It's not how the brain works when you're in that headspace. You think you're doing a favor. Like, you think you're making the... No, you don't. You don't think it. You know it. Yeah. You know that you're making the right decision. So
yeah,
if we could get rid of some of that shame and get rid of some of that judgment.
Yeah, just call somebody. Call anybody if you can. Call me. I love you.
Yeah.
I love you, Mike, though. I'm so glad you're here.
Yes, me too. And I guess my random fact for the week is just that I almost pooped my pants on Sunday. That's all. That's all I got. That's my random fact.
I have a random fact about myself.
Okay.
It's kind of dumb, but as I'm, like, going through all unpacking and things, I found, like, an old, I think I was in fourth or fifth grade, but you know how they do those, like, physical tests and things like that?
Uh-huh.
And it's like, how many V up, or how flexible are you, and how many pull-ups can you do, and how can you climb that rope, and a mile, like, they time your mile. I have to brag for a second. I mean, I was a scrawny little thing. I did 39 pull-ups.
What?
As a fifth grader or fourth grader. I don't know. Yeah, 39 pull-ups. And I remember it. And I remember being really proud and doing as much as the boys. But I was also I was a super physical kid, and, like, always, I don't know, climbing, jumping. I was doing gymnastics too and things like that. But I just was like, holy crap. If I had, like, I'm not sure if I could do one right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, at my most fit, I could do four. Right now, I can do about one. I may have weighed myself today, and I may be at my highest weight ever. Congratulations to me. But it's fine. It's fine. It's just where we are right now. Yeah. It's okay. I was like, oh, I have never seen that number before. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of...
But I was also the kid who didn't get boobs until I was, like, almost out of high school, so... You know, double-edged sword. I'm sure some people are like, oh, you're so lucky. Stop complaining. But I was like, it also is hard not being the one. I didn't develop. I was like a late bloomer and all that crap. It's not fun either. But anyways, I just wanted to brag and say at one point in my life, I did 39 pull-ups and I did an 8-minute mile, which that's pretty good for a little kid, I guess.
That's very good. Yeah. Wow.
I know.
You were quite the athlete.
I guess so. It's gone downhill, guys.
Well, as always, I love talking with you.
Oh, you too. I love you.
Really, thank you for always being there for me. Always. Like, I knew that I could come and knock on your door that day, and I know that I could come and knock on your door tomorrow. So.
Absolutely. I insist upon it.
And everyone listening, thanks for going on that journey. Yeah. And I really, truly, if anyone is having problems, please reach out. There is light.
Yeah. Hard to hear that sometimes, but it's true.
It can be hard to hear that, but I promise you, there is light. Thank you all. Thank you, Vanya, for having this conversation.
Mwah.
As always, I love it. Love you. And we'll talk again next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Mike, I need to go wipe Calvin's butt. Give me one second. I'm sorry. I can hear him yelling this minute. Sorry. Poop.
I mean, that's going to go after the credits. I hope you're okay with that. That's definitely. Thank you for doing my job for me.
I'm back. La, 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 la.
We're still on.
A little bit of poopy. Okay. Here we go.